The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Frog Eyes is there. Rock and Diesel is there. Welcome. I have found the ultimate Subway sandwich after years of development. I think that Subway has improved a lot. I've been stuck with the problem at Subway that for a decade or two, the only option for steak lover was the steak and cheese, and the steak was just boiled steak. It wasn't very interesting. But now they have new options. The Stampede Brisket is a good option. It's a sliced actual piece of beef, the brisket. And so what I do is double meat brisket with orange cheddar, pickle, jalapeno, banana peppers, green peppers, and you're going to be happy. Try the Stampede Brisket. It is true meat, at least. The rest at Subway is all soy-based, whatever, reconstituted meat. Jordash says, does Subway employ white people in Alberta? No. Even in Alberta, somehow in the distant fields of the countryside, they find one Indian. Like, you're not going to see Indians walking on the street. You're not going to see Indians going to the grocery store. But if you go to a Tim Hortons or a Subway, you're going to see Indians serving you the food. Frog Eyes says, Richard Spencer appeared on the Martinez stream yesterday. He shouted out JF as one of his favorite people in the space. Yeah, I've been going on Spencer's show yesterday. Yesterday, I was in pain. I was in pain in my belly, in my intestines, unrelated to the Subway, because I ate Subway today, not yesterday. I wasn't able to do the show yesterday. John Drake says, another beastly meeting with Trump. I only wish he gave some ideas on what could be done when asked. Also, I love the Joe Pesci eyes on Elon Musk. Yeah, very interesting, this event that has happened with Trump and the South African president. I mean, it boils down to this. We're being genocided by stupidity. And we're going to have to acknowledge at some point that someone who is on average 80 IQ has an aura of retardation. And his aura of retardation is dangerous to be around, because he can suddenly grab a knife and attack you, and because you're white, but the judges are never going to decide that it was a racial crime. He can let a genocide happen in his own country if he happens to be the president, an 80 IQ president, and he's going to be like, oh, well, you know, maybe those killings are happening, but there's also other killings happening. We are faced with the ultimate reality that living in these diverse nations is impossible, because the standard of living by which they accept to live in their community are simply abhorrent to our white standards. Rock and Diesel says, even in Quebec woods of Lac Saint-Jean, I got served by a Pajit in McDonald's sort of trying to speak French. It's amazing. It's amazing because it's like, where the hell do you get these people? You can go in places of Canada that are still pretty white, 100% white, and yet they kind of bring in their employees. Do they come from the city every morning to work at these places? How does it work? Meet Vic says, do you think it's a coincidence that South Africa is getting retaliation for presenting the ICJ case against Israel? Yeah, that's the little stain on this whole event today, which is Trump really doing it for white people, or is he doing it for the Jews? Because South Africa happens to have been the ones starting the case for genocide against Israel in the International Criminal Court. Maybe Trump is just trying to use the white cause for the Jews. In any case, whether he's doing it or not, the effect at the end is that we're starting to talk about white genocide, and that has been a thing that we've pushed since the beginning. And there is no solving the problem of civilization without addressing this problem, which is white people are not violent enough to out-genocide black people when they live among them. And so, inevitably, if you have any sort of large number of black people living around whites, they will end up killing them. It's the only question is at which rate. The only question is the rate. The only question is whether it takes 10 years or 100 years. And you're going to have a progressive loss of the standards of the law. You're going to have a progressive demand. As more whites get killed, there's more blacks that control more politics, that demand more stuff. And so the whites are being constrained in many ways. First, reproductively, by killing, so their numbers go down. Second, by pumping out of their energy through taxation for at the service of the welfare for the non-whites. And that is the mechanism of genocide. That is how you start with 10-15% population of blacks in an area, and suddenly, you know, you're on a street where there's only white people, you're in a city where there's only white people. Suddenly a couple of blacks come in, they instar an atmosphere of violence in the center of the city. They expand, they grow, they make more babies while killing your babies. They then tax you, they then demand reparations. When they're numerous enough to determine the outcome of the vote, they demand welfare. And they continue producing babies while they extract the economic energy from the whites. They then continue killing you at higher rates. Eventually, they take over the local police. And now you have a Chicago-style situation where the police is half embedded within the criminal world, where the mayor is a gangster. And then you're there at 60% black and 80% black. And whoever is left is the whites that can't afford moving out. And so the end result is extreme suffering for poor white people who are stuck in these situations, and eventually their complete elimination. That is the story that has been happening and that will be happening for the next 100 years, all of which is being hidden under the carpet, hidden under the rug, by the left, who don't want to talk about it, who will tell you, oh, well, maybe some of the things you've just listed here are happening, but it's not intentional. And at the end, does it really matter whether it's intentional? It doesn't. If you're telling me that blacks are basically a machine for genocide that is so coded in their behavior that they don't even realize they're doing it, I don't care. I don't care whether they realize they're doing it. What's important is that it's happening and it has to stop. And I think that what Trump is doing could be historically one of the first steps toward putting a brake on this whole system. Because eventually, although it's going to take time, because you have already the mainstream media machine of the left trying to debunk Trump. It's like there's nothing to debunk. These people are dead. These white farmers are dead. The father of Elon Musk himself had to kill three people to protect his daughter. And he's now talking about it. I'm proud that he's talking about it because I was the one covering this and he was staying silent about it. But finally, he came out today in an interview and it confirmed the details that I was thinking. It was a racial attack. Basically, the family of Elon Musk has been targeted with the very same kind of farm attacks, home invasion, and attempt to kill that we see. It's just that Elon Musk, the Papa Elon, the father of Elon Musk, had a gun and was able to kill three of them. Wow. That was my reading of this situation, but it was only from media articles from the 90s that I had extracted this. And Elon Musk was staying silent about it. Elon Musk, we hadn't heard him about it, but now it's coming out. It was the situation. Theo Vaughn is coming out against the genocide in Gaza.
You know, I wanted to say something. There's been something that's just been kind of on my heart, and so I feel like I should bring it up. There is, you know, we've had people on the podcast in the past to talk about it. And there's a conflict that's been happening in the Middle East. People know about it, between Israel and Palestine and some of the areas over there, the Gaza area they talk about. And I just think it feels to me like it's a genocide that's happening while we're alive here in front of our lives. Sometimes I feel like I should say something. I'm not a geologist or geographer or anything like that, you know, so I don't know a lot of some of it I do know though. Like I know the basics of the issues over there, but for me, it's just like how I feel like you see all these photos of people, just children, women, people, body parts, just people like putting their kids back together. And I just can't believe that we're watching that and that more isn't said about it.
Very nice. Very nice to have Theo Vaughn. I feel that he's always been on our side, but it's good that he's coming out explicitly. Something that was said on the Discord that I didn't know that Theo Vaughn is friend with David Duke, apparently. Our friend David Duke, I didn't know at all. Apparently, Theo Vaughn's father was very old. He was something like 70 years old or when he was a teenager, and David Duke happened to be their neighbor, and David Duke took over Theo Vaughn as kind of a replacement father, taught him to do some gym stuff. So apparently David Duke was a father figure for Theo Vaughn. Apparently he's talked about it. Talked about it on Rogan, but I didn't watch. This is the new map of Gaza. Red, evacuation zones where Palestinians are ordered to leave. Green, where 2.3 million are expected to live. Look, this is the pushing of a population for the purpose of genocide and ethnic cleansing. Clearly, what Israel has done is take over the area, destroy their living places so that becomes unviable, and basically have this gathering of people in humanitarian need and capacity to receive anything. Everything is blocked. You can see that the east and west is blocked. North and south. The east, everything is controlled by Israel. So what you have is a packaging of human being in the needs, clearly being done so that they cannot keep on living. And I'm so so disappointed by the behavior of Viva Frey. Because I tried to engage in a way with Viva Frey yesterday. And it seemed to me that Viva Frey was one commentator who would be willing to engage honestly, who was looking at not being too much of a partisan for the Jewish side. But no, I realized that he's just like the other Jews, incapable of rationality when it comes to this subject. I tried extending so much olive branch, and he went total strawman on me. At this point, it's impossible. People are so retarded and so obsessed with their side. It's impossible to even connect on the public space and have an honest conversation. Look at this. It starts with him trying to make a very flawed argument where he says, you say it's a genocide, but you don't say that there were 1,000 people who died on October 7th. So it is human to feel sad at the consequences of war, but the first thing you need to do is define what genocide means. Then you need to ask yourself if genocide starts by the perpetrated victims of the genocide slaughtering over 1,000 innocent men, women, and children of the group purportedly committing this genocide. This is so weak. And I could have went straight to him and explained, look, this is a very bad argument. Genocide is a genocide, whether something happened before it or not. The genocide must be defined by the action and the result, not by the cause. You can commit a genocide for no reason. You can commit a genocide in response to a genocide. The fact that there is 1,000 people that are said to have been killed by Gazans, by some, by a subset of terrorists of Hamas, supposedly, on October 7th, does not change whether what happened to Gaza after it is a genocide. A genocide remains a genocide whether you commit it with something in mind, with vengeance in mind, with a response in mind. It's still a genocide. So I was very, very kind to him to lay out and extend the most olive branches I could. I said, one, let us agree that the definition of genocide is independent of what was done by the group being genocided. One can genocide for no reason. One can genocide for vengeance. One can genocide in response to a genocide, etc. Two, the UN definition of a genocide is the following act committed with intent to destroy in whole or in part a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group, including killing members of the group. So, of course, the question of the genocide here is the intent and the actions that are taken. Three, thus the answer to your question, whether the killing or kidnapping of a group of people on October 7th, is as follows. It may or may not constitute a genocide depending on the intent. Suppose we grant that some of the October 7th attackers had genocidal intent. Even if on October 7th a genocide had been committed, as we have granted, it would have been committed by a subset of Gazans, not all of them. Thus, genociding the Gazans as a whole in response to an act of genocide committed by a few hundreds makes no sense. One does not need to call out all of the genocide. Some genocides are more horrific because they are exerted with power over powerless people, with increased suffering or elicit particular humanitarian considerations due to the victims being helpless or guiltless, for example, children. Whatever has happened on October 7th to 1,000 victims does not justify creating 2 million victims. 2 million victims of food restrictions humanitarian unavailability, torture, missiles, blowing up children, blowing up living places for a civilian civilization. None of this is justified by even the killing of 1,000 people. Larry says, I think David Duke has or had cancer because he seems to have vanished from social media, and the last time I saw him, he looked like he had been sick. Okay, well, I'm sad to hear. I still very much like... I loved my time with David Duke, and I like the guy. I like his energy, and I like his ideas. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, didn't he indicate that a genocide require complete extermination of an entire ethnic group? If so, what genocide is he even consider as ever taken place? Yeah, there's always a... That's why the UN definition of genocide... As always said, part of a group. So even if you end up just succeeding at eliminating a part of a group, it's still genocide, because there is no genocide that has truly exterminated everyone. There is always a surviving portion of a population. And Viva Free, instead of taking this very well-written response where I have points, where you can disagree honestly with each point or say where he differs, he publishes this fully strawmanned interpretation of my statement, my point six. One does not need to call out all of the genocides. Some genocides are more horrific because they are exerted with power over powerless people, with increased suffering or illicit particular humanitarian considerations due to the victims being helpless or guiltless, for example, children. Here I was thinking about... If you want to call what happened on October 7th a genocide, it's still a genocide that was performed by a subset of a population, a group of terrorists. It didn't succeed at threatening Israel in its existence. It didn't even succeed at taking over any portion of Israel. So effectively, Israel can continue living as a Jewish nation over all of the areas over which October 7th happened. So we're at the border between a war act here and just criminal acts. It was just mass criminality, but it was all also handled by the Israeli Defense Forces, and the Israeli Defense Forces were able to push it back. So if you want to call October 7th, a genocide, it's certainly a genocide of lesser proportion than what Israel is doing currently to Gaza, with at least 60,000 dead already. That's already 60 times the number of dead of the 1,000 of October 7th. And on top of it, those are not the only victims of what's happening. There's a bunch of people who are still alive and who are very much the victim of these humanitarian restrictions, absence of food delivery, complete destruction of their homes, of their cities. So genocide for genocide, what Israel is committing to Gaza is at least, I would say, roughly 100x graver. And if 100x is not disproportionate, you know how the term disproportionate is important in legal analysis at the war crime level. If 100x is not disproportionate, then I don't know what is. I don't know what is the meaning of disproportionate if you don't apply it when there's 100x more suffering and more victims. So he decides to take this point and ridicule it, but he's ridiculing a straw man of it. There you have it, folks. Some genocides are more genocide than other genocides. Well, I haven't said that first. I have said among the things that qualify as genocides, some are graver, some are more horrific. And it's like, you certainly agree with me, Viva Free. You little Canadian Jew. You certainly disagree with me. you certainly agree with me. You certainly have one genocide that you particularly pay attention to, that's particularly close to your heart. So you're saying bullshit here. He says George Orwell would be proud of this mental gymnastic. Well, you're doing the mental gymnastic because you had to put words in my mouth. I have never agreed with Israel's response to October 7th, but this is just a stupid response. You slaughter over 1,000 innocent civilians of a country, expect a response from that country, however unjust you might find that response to be. And I said, you are mischaracterizing what I said intentionally. I didn't say some genocides are more genocide. I said they are more horrific. You don't even disagree with that statement. I'm sure you hold a particular genocide very close to your heart as having been more horrific than others. What you are doing here is performative disagreement. Nice try. Everyone can see. It's unbelievable that we can, with these new creators that know that they will never be in a confrontational debate, that they will never have to face a truly contrarian view. They just don't care about being truthful, and they don't care about using a straw man, because they know that they won't ever be called to duty by their own audience, because YouTube has basically created the expectation that no, there will never be honest debates. Very disappointing performance by Viva Frey. I expected more of him, honestly, but I shouldn't have. Doubting Thomas says, JF didn't... okay, this one I read. People are pointing out that Bitcoin is rising to 110K. Yeah! Yeah. Oh, yeah, boys. Oh, yeah. We are past the all-time high. We are... Oh, great. I have held with confidence thinking that this moment was coming. And it is coming. I am so happy. Bro, it took courage and it took perseverance to hold with confidence. And here we are, boys. Here we are. The bull run is not over because we are in a new all-time high area. Excellent, excellent. I'm very happy about this. Look, again, this is the aura of retardation. The thing is, we're going to start brownifying all of our nations in the coming... I mean, it's already been happening. It's going to continue for the next 100 years. And you're just going to be retarded by more... you're going to be surrounded by more and more retarded brown people who are convinced that they've invented the world. And this is what this discussion is here, where I, hypocrite, had to injure a black person thinking that they are so superior. Well, if you are so superior, black people, why don't you go live among yourselves? I know a continent where you can be, where you'll be surrounded by superior black people.
Everywhere you find a successful white person, there was a black person who also in many ways was benefiting, but who basically threw them the alley-oop. Black people have been throwing your people alley-oops since 600 years ago. We brought those slaves to the coast, so all you had to do was load them up and take them to where...
My entire family has been successful business owners, farm owners, productive members of society. We have never used any slave. Not a single one in 400 years of documented history.
Wherever you want them to go. That's called an alley-oop. To sum it up, white people feel and recognize a certain level of inferiority to black people. Do you guys understand that?
Come on, man.
No, I'm telling you.
What?
You guys understand that. And so, you know, if you go up against a black person head to head, 9 times out of 10, you're probably not going to win for whatever.
That's not what I see on the streets. What I see on the streets again and again is black people teaming up because they need to be 3 or 4 against a single white person to really beat him. Now, they viciously attack and they end up putting him down. But in one-to-one fights, I don't see much black victories. When the fight is fair, when it's the same age, same weight, comparable build, what I see is black people need their third or fourth sucker punch from the back, or they need their little hidden weapons.
Every reason, maybe it's just comfort, maybe it's like white fragility, as they call it. But so what you do is you manipulate situations to get a advantage, or like before 1810, Britain.
They think it's an advantage. They think the free market is an advantage. Bro, you manipulate the market right now away from the free market to get your free jobs, your free affirmative action employees, where you are basically a liability for the companies that take you in. And so they put you in these artificial jobs where you can just drain money away just to satisfy leftists and say, oh yeah, we have a diverse workforce.
Outlawed slavery and said, if you get caught moving slaves, we're going to destroy your ships. Well, guess what?
You're welcome.
People are noting that he has a slightly high-pitched voice, this black man, possibly an effect of the buck-breaking process.
The Americans, and I use sports, I use just anything we do, we kind of rise to the top. I mean, damn, look at the UFC. Look at anything. And there's a reason for that. So you guys now say, we're not going to compete equally with them. 183,000 African-American troops served in the Civil War. The North could not have won without those black, and they weren't even Americans yet, soldiers.
Okay, so the current hellhole of Democrat-empowered, affirmative action, black-loving America has been obtained through violence by blacks. You think that's a good argument for your side?
Lincoln admitted to that. What's the other guy's name?
I'm already mad at black people. Ulysses, you don't have Grant, to convince me.
No, Ulysses Grant admitted to that. Ulysses S. Grant admitted to that. Yeah, yeah. Those black battalions were a crucial part of the North maintaining the Union and submitting the Confederacy.
I mean, can we all agree that the state of affairs currently, where you have, you know, a black person who does something antisocial, like in this case, a murder, and then raises $1 million from black people who basically completely ignore the realities of the situation, mm-hmm. but want to get behind somebody who's part of their tribe, and then white people doing the same thing in reaction by supporting somebody like Shiloh Hendricks, this is not a tenable state of affairs, and this isn't something that should be...
Well, it's a tenable state of affairs until we get what we... should have from the beginning, which is freedom of association. Allow segregation, explicit segregation. Allow people to form their communities, restricted communities, with for whom they will choose who gets in and gets out, and you've solved the situation. Albino Hunter sends a super chat. He says, I moved to Africa. They treat me like a king here. In the absence of Caucasians, they crave our presence and guidance. Okay, well, good luck to you. You know, thanks for your super chat, but I won't be counting on your super chats to live, because I think one week you will just disappear and we'll never hear of you again.
Encourage.
White people started that, actually. You only started paying attention to it with the recent events. Dylan Roof had a GoFundMe, bro. Let me give you some names you know. Bernie Sanders, Andre Ocasio-Cortez.
Puerto Rican.
But see, now we want to go into religion. See, but...
No, the difference between a Puerto Rican and an African is not merely one of religion. I mean, poor I hypocrite... LP original had to injure this black man, but it's gonna be this for 100 years, and I suffer so much thinking about this. same thing in the White House. Trump had the South African president, and look at Elon Musk looking at the South African president. As a reminder, Elon Musk used to live in South Africa. His family had to flee. I mean, they never phrase it as flee, but it's basically what they had to do. Before they were able to flee, his sister was attacked by 3-4 black males, home invading the home of his father. His father had to shoot 3 of them down. Apparently, 3 of them down with 3 bullets. 1 bullet per corpse. Very efficient shooting here. And Elon Musk is very frustrated at the president of South Africa for his treatment of whites. And also because he says, look, SpaceX right now cannot be a business in South Africa because I'm white. Because the government has these priorities of development for black people. And so you're never going to get a black person send 10,000 satellites in orbit, okay? It's never happening. If they can master one rocket one day, I'll be impressed, okay? It's never, never, never happening that you're going to get 10,000 satellites in orbit put up by a black person. So when you say I prioritize black development, it means you're never going to get Starlink in South Africa, all of it because of racial hatred. So Trump just talks with the South African president and just puts it right in his face. A little video edit featuring all of the hatred against white people in South Africa by official people, by politicians, by people publicly calling for the killing of whites.
From no one. We don't care. We can do whatever you want to do. Who are you to tell us whether we can occupy land or not? We are going to occupy land. Yeah. South Africa, occupy land. That's who we are. Well, who can withdraw my membership from this useless parliament?
Honorable. Yes, honorable member.
Must never be scared to kill a revolution.
Never be scared to kill for the revolution. So just long minutes of very clear appeal to violence.
Shoot to kill. Come on, sir.
Shoot to kill. Shoot to kill. Are these even sentences? Are they're making gun noises?
Those people were all killed.
So then President Trump talks about the white crosses. Amazingly, you know, this classic video where I'm sure you've seen it on the social media, of 1,000 white crosses, and each of them is meant to represent one dead white farmer killed by black home invasion. The South African president has never seen this video. And he says to Trump, where was this? I've never seen this video. We've seen this video outside of South Africa again and again. Everyone has seen this video. How can you not have seen it?
Have they told you where that is, Mr. President?
No, I'd like to know where that is, because this I've never seen.
This I've never seen. The video with the white crosses.
I mean, it's in South Africa this week. We need to find out. That place.
Now you're gonna have the mainstream media trying to move away from the subject without even acknowledging what was just shown.
They ought to be investigated. They are so terrible, the way you...
And the guy came and asked a question about the Qatar jet that had nothing to do with the video.
Run that network. And you're a disgrace. No more questions from you. Go ahead.
I love what Trump does. You're a disgrace. No more questions from you.
Go ahead, talk about that. His name is Peter something. He's a terrible reporter. Quiet, quiet, quiet. Let's go.
Thank you very much.
What would you like President Ramaphosa to do about the situation that we've just seen on the screen?
I don't know.
Now, that's a missed opportunity. Trump should have had something prepared. Look, what can you do? It's quite simple. I mean, the elementary society would have to apply the law and be competent policemen. Now, that's impossible in South Africa because it's black people policing also. So there is only one thing you can do in South Africa to fix this problem: allow and aid and reinforce segregation, racial segregation. Quite simply, you need to be able to allow white society to fortify, to create situations where they can have cameras seeing black people arriving to their home in advance, kilometers in advance. And you need to give the possibility for white society in there to have their own military force, police force, to push back the invasion. If you want to have a surviving white population in South Africa, you need to do all of those. And it needs to be like barriers. It needs to be that every black person knows you cannot pass this barrier. You're going to get shot by a sniper. If you don't do this, then just move out of South Africa, because I know there's not going to be a single white left in South Africa in 50 years from now.
Look, these are articles over the last few days. Death of people. Death. 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 Horrible death. Death. I don't know. To pick anyone, white South Africans are fleeing because of the violence and racist laws. And this is all, I mean, I'll give these to you. So when you say, what would I like to do? I don't know what to do. Just look at this. White South African couples say that they were attacked violently. And
President Trump, when will you go and see for yourself if it isn't?
Well, I could do that. Look, here's burial sites all over the place. These are all white farmers that are being buried. And he asks about a jet that was given. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You know, you are so bad. You're such a bad reporter. This is one after another. This family was...
What you saw, the speeches that were being made, one... That is not government policy.
Can you imagine? This is the first thing he answers. Okay, there's these appeals to killing whites. There's these laws that take their farmlands. There's these laws that make them impossible to engage in business or self-defense. There's these politicians calling for their death. And then there's their killing. It's happening. And his response is, I want to note something here. This is not official government policy. Are you fucking kidding me? So your only response to this is, we are not explicitly doing it through the government. We're just letting it happen. We're just too incompetent to stop it.
We have a multi-party democracy in South Africa that allows people to express themselves, political parties to adhere to various policies, and in many cases, or in some cases, those policies do not go along with government policy.
In many cases, these These policies do not go along with official government policies. So you're telling me that there is some degree of overlap between these crowds chanting, let's kill the whites, and government policy? You're telling me that you partially enact their desires through policy?
Our government policy is completely against what he was saying.
Okay, but it's still happening. So are you going to stop it?
In the parliament, and they're a small minority party, which is allowed to exist in terms of our constitution.
But you do allow...
It's the first time I ever hear an African actually care about due process, and he cares for allowing the party of genocide, the very, very small minority party of white genocide.
Allow them to take land.
No.
You do allow them to take land.
Nobody can take land.
And then when they take the land, they kill the white farmer. And when they kill the white farmer, nothing happens to them.
No. There is quite...
Nothing happens to
them. There is criminality in our country. People who do get killed, unfortunately, through criminal activity, are not only white people.
Unbelievable. So that's the ultimate answer. Hey, there are also black people being killed by our very, very bad levels of black criminality. And it boils down to this. I hope that this leads to some sort of awakening where white people have to understand black people are comfortable with ongoing criminality and they can't or won't do anything to stop it. Once it's taken over their society, they're fine with it. But white people shouldn't be fine with it. And by our standard, it is unacceptable. On top of it, someone was making the calculation. Definitely, white farmers are being disproportionately targeted by this violence. Someone was saying they represent less than 1% of the murders in South Africa, but they also represent a very, very small portion of the total population of South Africa. So by proportion of their population, they are overrepresented by 1,500% in murder cases. So we have to understand there will not be a living together solution. Simply. Because living together means exposing yourself to the aura of retardation. And this aura of retardation is carried around up to the president of South Africa, where he's like, oh, well, you know, criminality. There's criminality happening, but it's killing lots of people of all races equally. White people will either have to endure living as blacks, comfortable in gangster life, comfortable in a society where there's no law being applied, or they're going to have to live alone. Mayor Brendan Johnson admits that he is in fact putting black residents first. The Trump administration has opened the case of humanitarian rights violation, civil rights violation for white people, because this guy is saying that he only hires blacks.
Why wouldn't I speak to Black Chicago? Why wouldn't I? Black Chicago and black people in America have borne the brunt of the type of policies and the maneuvering and the humiliating tactics that are coming from the federal government right now. It's not a secret. Who is going to be mad at the fact that we have to prioritize spaces in the city that have been harmed the most?
So he said recently that he was only hiring blacks as part of his city employment strategy. There's no point of equality. This is what white liberals have to understand. There's no point at which the blacks feel that they have had enough reparation. What you have is a constant, I want more, I want more. Okay, you give me equality, I want full employment. You give me that much, I want that much for reparations. There is always more of a demand until there's no more white people to demand from. That is the mechanism of white genocide. Another person who is more of a white pill in this environment, Shiloh Hendricks, has recently published a message to the world. The good news is she has obtained all of the GoFundMe money. So the GoFundMe money is in her hands, and they are currently shopping for houses outside of Minnesota.
Hi, everyone. I'm Shiloh Hendricks. I wanted to take a little time to talk to you all about what's been going on with my fundraiser and kind of the aftermath of the park situation. Also, some concerns that have been brought to my attention. There are a lot of people who think that this has all been a scam, that I haven't been getting my money and that it's not going to me. I have gotten every dime of my money. It's all gone to me. Nobody has asked me for any money. So there's that.
Yeah, people were pointing out this symbol is kind of worrying, a naked female symbol with her vagina of power. To be seen by everyone. It looks like some sort of pagan, weird witch of the forest type of symbolism. But I don't care. Shiloh has been awesome. And she has, importantly, she has not apologized. She has stood her ground. And I'm happy that the money got to her. Shamrock Shake says, it is Freya from Norse mythology. Ah, interesting. I love how detailed the internet can be. Like, I'm just here talking, and one of you knows exactly who that goddess is. Norse mythology. Interesting. Mass rape and murder isn't a real genocide. Real genocides have masturbation machines and death coasters and showerheads that distribute toxic gas like in the Batman cartoons. Yeah, we are seeing the rise of the genocide denier. The genocide denier debunker. Actually, we're seeing the rise of this fucking leftist geek, either in the case of the South Africa genocide, or in the case of the Israel genocide of Gaza. We're seeing a lot of people making technical arguments. And I think we should be beyond technical arguments at this point. We should be mature enough to say, hey, if you're committing a genocide accidentally or intentionally, or maybe you are, but you just don't know about it, it doesn't matter. Intentions don't matter. The consequences of our action matter. And if you have a bunch of people on the internet telling you, hey, you're committing a genocide, it becomes an intentional action because you've been informed. You've been informed of the consequences of your actions. I believe that we have to... Someone was telling me, well, it seems that your definition of genocide is so broad as to include many wars. And I was like, yeah. And it was like, and even as to include the treatment of the populations by their own government. And I was like, yeah, yeah. It's eye-opening when you realize we have a reality, which is the theory of evolution, which determines how demographics are outcompeting and outbreeding others. We know it's true. We know it has to be true. And yet we have governments who are in explicit denial of this theory, who act like it doesn't exist. But in the end, every of their action is an action that pushes the world in one direction or another, that pushes these evolutionary forces while denying that they exist. Clearly, the things that we do in the world, the things that our governments do, determine whether this surface area of planet Earth will one day be conquered by blacks, by whites, or by a mix of them, if it's possible at all for a mix of them to live together. USDA approves Nebraska's banning soda and energy drinks from food stamps. So the food stamp program, will be restricted. Can't buy soda anymore. Yes, Blimpy Supervisor, the purpose of a system is what it does. There is some dirty play going on in the interstate systems of taxation. Congressman John Rose was saying raising the SALT deduction is a bailout for Democrat governors paid for by red states with low taxes. Tennesseans should not foot the bill for New York and California's mismanagement. And Thomas Massey was saying he is 100% correct. Massively increasing deductions for state taxes on federal tax returns is a transfer of hundreds of billions of dollars from taxpayers in red states to taxpayers in blue states. It's also a complete reversal of Trump's good tax policy achieved in 2017. Extremely grave, and it's very grave that it's happening under Trump. Trump, did you not learn to favor your side? Did you not learn that the Democrats will do anything to take from the Republican states and put it in the Democrat states? Now they're allowing these deductions. So basically what these deductions do is if your state has high taxes, then the federal tax will be lower. If your state doesn't have high taxes, then the federal tax will take more. So in a way, it's forcing government. It's saying if you don't have big Democrat government at the state level, we're going to take that money from you anyway, and we're going to bring it to the federal level where you're going to get a Democrat federal administration eventually. I can't believe that Trump and the Republicans in power are letting that happen. Because this is the kind of thing that long-term systematically advantages the Democrats. And finally, the words of Elon Musk, the father of Elon Musk, on his experience in South Africa. I'm so happy that I got this story right, looking through the archives, because now that he's talking about it for the first time in modern time, in modern internet times, it seems to be that I had the story correct.
A smidgen of police. Yeah. And a lot of the time, the police are implicated in the crimes. So, you know, farm dwellers, especially the older people, the older farmers and wives are easy targets, right. Very easy targets for them to come and, you know, smash and grab and take whatever they can. And then in the process, you know, decapitate the farmer and his wife. I mean, it's just really not funny anymore, you know?
Doesn't sound like fun. In terms of President Trump broaching this issue, do you think that your son Elon may have played a part, whispered in his ear, you ought to confront this Ramaphosa guy with this genocide that's going on, or the alleged genocide?
Well, you know, I've been attacked on a farm. In my case, the attackers didn't come off so well, you know. So I sort of dispatched three of them, and the rest are still running. I think they must be in Cairo by now. But at any rate, Elon knows about the situation. Obviously, he keeps abreast of the situation. He's a smart boy. But he's been in America for 35 years. Yeah. So his focus is on America. But of course he remembers South Africa. He remembers when he was here, we had very good law and order. Children could go to school on their bicycles. Mm-hmm. Children could walk to school. You can't do that anymore. So, I imagine he put in his two cents there.
By the way, Errol, I'm just being told, you know, you just talked about when they came to your, you had a confrontation, and you said you dispatched three of them. Yes. Did they meet their maker? Did you kill them?
Sorry?
Did you kill them? And what happened to those three guys that you confronted with? You talked about them coming to you.
Yes, I was about my small daughter was 6 years of age at the time. And I went to a home on a farm that I had, which I was painting out for renting. And after the painters left, about eight of these characters came into the house and promptly started shooting at us. And I was armed. So they fired 52 rounds at me. We picked up 52 shells from their weapons. I fired two rounds, and I killed three of them.
My God. Is South Africa becoming, particularly for white people, but I assume generally for law-abiding citizens?
I mean, this is the racial asymmetry that we've been talking about for years. 52 rounds, not one landed in their bodies. Two rounds, three killed on the black side. So white people know how to shoot so much better than blacks. If there ever is a civil war, remember this one. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow.